Ventures.
Welcome, everybody. It is the Maggie Dawn Show, a special edition here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the Brewers postseason, the eve. And so much to talk about. We had news breaking today. Is council going to stay or go? All, you know, inquiring minds want to know. And thank goodness I have an actual sports savant, sensei, if you will, with me. Remaining somewhat masked this afternoon, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook. Thanks so much, Matt Salmon, for joining me here in the Pirate Studio.
Thanks, Maggie. Pleasure to be here. I noticed you took a long pause before saying savant. Like, it was almost like you didn't want to say it, but that was the only word that came to mind. So thank you, though. That's very complimentary.
I could come up with others, but I figured, you know, the FCC might get mad.
That's
so
true. Yes, fair.
Well, this is, you texted me just about, what, a couple of hours before we were coming on the air, because you are on top of the sports news. Much obliged, Matt. Unfortunately, we've got Brandon Woodruff out for the wild card series. It appears questionable for the rest of the playoffs. That's got to be a disappointment out there to the Brewers fandom.
Yeah, it really is. And by the way, I do just want to start by saying something quickly.
Oh, please.
All opinions shared are my personal views, solely my own. All opinions expressed do not represent my employer, nor any one person at my employer in any way.
Perfect. Business has been now accounted for. Yes.
I think coming into this season, there was this extra feeling of optimism probably this year, because it seemed like Milwaukee had gotten through all of the injuries that they suffered at the beginning part of the season.
Right.
They had added some offense at the trade deadline. Brandon Woodruff came back and he was fully healthy. And
just so folks, if you don't recall, Woodruff had gone out with shoulder problems in April, came back in August, and really had been on a tear. Walks and hits per innings pitched, 0.821. I mean, that was just crushing it in the MLB. Sorry to interrupt your
flow. No. And that's helpful context that the Brewers got this far without him for a majority of the season. And all of a sudden the news just like felt like it just like fell from the sky where like he made kind of like a warm-up kind of throw session over the weekend. There was no reports that he was feeling any sort of pain or anything. And then just a complete 180 in terms of, you know, like you mentioned, he's got some shoulder injury and he'll be out for the wild card series and maybe all of the playoffs. And that optimism that felt almost tangible this year when compared to the previous few years in the playoffs, this is more than like the air being let out of the balloon. This really does feel like the playoff hopes are grounded.
Yeah, I hope not. And I think your context about, listen, the Brewers were able to keep it together for those many months. You had the balance of April, May, June, and July. They played the bulk of the season without Woodruff. Can it be done now in the playoffs? Much to be determined there. Frankly, I think having to square off against the Diamondbacks of any of the teams in the playoffs, if you're going to be down one of your star starting pitchers, okay, thank goodness it's the Diamondbacks and not some other squads that just have lit things on fire from an offensive perspective.
Right. And I think a lot of people would still say that the Brewers are slight favorites in this series, but you know, everything that Milwaukee fans were getting excited about potentially after this series was the ability to have the best pitching staff in baseball go up against the mighty Dodgers, or if they get past them, to go up against the all-world offense of Atlanta.
Yep.
And now it just feels like, well, they might be able to get past Arizona. They probably slight favorites, but in the end, you're back to almost where you were at the beginning of the season, where the hopes were probably like, hey, maybe they can get into the playoffs, but it still is Atlanta and Los Angeles just a cut above everybody else.
I mean, just crushing it. I think Atlanta, 102 games won, Dodgers 101. 100. I mean, those are just enormous numbers of wins in a baseball season. The technical medical term for why Woodruff is out is a capsular injury. Apparently no pitcher ever wants to hear that from their doc. Listen, if the call is sit him for the wild card, let's see if we get through that and hopefully give him some rest and maybe he's available on a limited basis. But Brandon's probably got a long career ahead of him. I would hate to have to be making those decisions as a pitcher or a manager of a baseball team.
Yeah, and we're not here to talk about the offseason, but that's an extra layer to this where Woodruff has one more year of arbitration left. Essentially, the team owns his rights where Woodruff can't really go anywhere, but then he has free agency after that. And so this is a huge offseason for the Brewers. That's a different show, but that is that extra little layer into this, because with Brewers fans probably having one eye to the offseason, this is going to be a huge offseason for them as they have to decide what to do with, you know, Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff and Willie Adames, who are all have like 1 year of arbitration left. And so this is where it felt like everybody is here. Everybody's healthy. Like, this is it. This is going to be the big push. And then to receive this news, it feels like a flat tire.
It absolutely does. And you and I were talking a little bit to both enjoy the weather, enjoy a couple of fine adult beverages this Saturday afternoon, but mostly to diligently prepare for this show. And we were talking about that feeling, the sort of Brewers brand of baseball, which is you really have to strike gold at just the right time. And that's what you're talking about. Listen, folks, if you want to join Matt and I, weigh in on the Brewers, any and all callers and topics, welcome. 844-967-2789. How are you feeling after the Woodruff news? What were you feeling before? Are you going to any of the games? 844-967-2789, especially if you might have been a first-time playoff attendee in the last couple of years. Boy, that environment has changed quite a bit since I have been to playoffs game and wild card playoffs in the past. It really is an electric atmosphere. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. But to talk, to just slow it down a little bit and lean on this a little bit, again, that Brewers brand, right? We cannot compete on a payroll basis with the large market franchises, including places like St. Louis. Boy, it's so nice to see them stinking this year. That was a pleasant surprise, was it not?
You know, not to get off on a sidetrack here.
Oh, no, this is all about sidetrack. But
I said back in July, you know, if the Brewers did find a way to win the division, and again, remember, that was kind of touch and go back in July with Cincinnati. Yep. Then the Cubs were only a game and a half back of the division lead with like 3 weeks to go. So this certainly wasn't kind of the cakewalk it was at the end of the season. But I said back in early July, if the Brewers win the division and St. Louis finishes in last place, this will be one of the greatest regular seasons of my lifetime. Just from an overcoming expectation standpoint, and St. Louis having this kind of overconfident feel to this season. I mean, who would have known you would need starting pitching to win a division?
Who knew?
And you know, it is just such a shame, you know, to the Cardinals, who are such a likable franchise,
right? Very warm and fuzzy feeling, you know, very humble.
Yeah, very humble. And so this was such a surprise and such an enjoyable regular season where everything really did come together.
Especially to put up a couple of big W's against both the Cardinals and the Cubs just at the tail end of the season. Boy, that feels good. I was at a couple of those games. Bye-bye, St. Louis. Nobody likes you around these parts. So to return to this idea of what Brewers baseball is, you know, I grew up as a fan. I was born watching baseball. I often joke that I knew how to keep score before I could write in cursive. Mm-hmm. And to me, the things that sort of make for Brewers baseball is you need a great president of operations. You need great front office, right? You need an incredible manager that's going to let guys play, because of the fact that Brewers teams tend to be composed of this formula, right? They've got some good guys that'll come up from the farm leagues. Nobody's ever heard of them, right? They sort of have an eye for talent. That's part of the Brewers formula. they're real good at trades before the deadline to try to set up for the postseason. They tend to look for players that maybe are in the last third of their career, but still maybe have some good baseball left, a little seasoning, some maturity in the clubhouse. They also, frankly, just look for those guys that are coming up that seem to be carrying the team, that have got a little bit of spark in them to lock in that postseason lineup. What are you seeing, aside from the Woodruff problem, that both speaks to the Brewers' idea, kind of how we put it together, and maybe some folks that might surprise people in the postseason?
You know, I think in terms of kind of building the roster, like you said, they had to rely on a lot of rookies this year. I think the number was 59. They used 59 different players at some point this season. And that's really been a trademark of the Craig Council years, is we are going to rotate through the entire 40-man roster, continue to use minor league options to bring players up and down, yep, and to build out some length and some depth. They had to rely on a lot of rookies this year. Everyone from Joey Weimer, who started the season in center field. He was not with the team for the past few weeks, but Sal Frelick, Andrew Monasterio is technically a rookie at 27 years old. He's been through a number of different places. And then other sort of rookies like Abner Uribe, who just materialized almost out of nowhere.
He did. I was at a game, and all of a sudden, here's this kid pitching 104 miles an hour.
And then it's a combination of almost like lottery tickets. Like, if you're the Brewers and you have a payroll that is traditionally in the middle to the bottom third of Major League Baseball, you have to buy essentially like lottery tickets. You have to make trades. And so, you know, Freddie Peralta is a great example of that. He was a trade with Seattle. He was a single A pitcher when they acquired him, and they just took a flyer on him. And it's making a number of those trades. Now, they don't all pan out, but it's seeing who you can package, or how many times you can just kind of get in that lottery system and see who will come out. You know, Adrian Hauser is another great example of that. So he was picked up in a trade from Houston. That was a trade that sent Carlos Gomez and Mike Fiers to Houston. Now, Josh Hader was the big piece that came back in that trade, but Adrian Hauser was also part of that.
And people forget that, right? Hader's gone. They forget how that trade came together. We're about to go into break. Listen, you got two baseball lovers, one that knows a lot more about the statistics and all the important stuff. I just do the color commentary, if you will. Join the conversation. It is the eve of the Brewers postseason, 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. We got Anya in the production booth. We got Matt Salmon help us figure it all out here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us. We'll be back with more in a moment. The Eye of the Tiger.
UK. Two hands in the air, I'm a champion. You'll be looking up at me when it's over. I live for the battle, I'm a soldier. Yeah, I'm a fighter like Rocky. Put your flag on your back like Ali. Yeah, I'm the greatest, I'm stronger. Bet my dues can't lose, I'm my own, yeah. Hey, I've been working my whole life.
And so is the crew. They're a grinder team. They have been since I remember lining up for the free George Webb hamburgers.
That was the old 13 in a row. Right?
Oh, yes, it was. That was good times. Anybody listening, line up for the free George Webb hamburgers. They weren't very good at, but at least they were free. So you just line up. 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to a special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show on this, the Brewers postseason eve. I am joined by my good friend. Gosh, I can't even remember how long ago we met. We've played some golf together. We've quaffed some beverages. We've talked some tall tales.
Boy, yeah, it's probably going back 9 or 10 years, I would bet.
At least,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Time does fly. My good friend Matt Salmon, thanks so much for joining me. Of course, Anya on the board, who nailed a special guest hosting.
Here, I thought we were going to get away without talking about it. Okay, hi.
Heck no. If you haven't heard Anya do the show from Friday. That was Thursday night.
Thursday, yeah.
Thursday night. You got to go check it out on the podcast. You can hear any of my previous shows. Just go to civicmedia.us and you will find them all there, including when Anya takes over the mic and the board. And isn't that to everyone's collective benefit? But we're talking all things Brewers today. Join our conversation, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You were talking about Craig Counsell. And I think even if I wasn't such a Brewers fan, he would still rank among some of my most favorite all-time baseball managers. He has this way about him. He's not a, you know, lose his mind guy. The fact that he played for the team too and was such an impressive utility baseball player, smart guy in the batter's box, right? I mean, Counsell was really one of those super versatile players. How has Counsell been in your mind? I mean, really brought on a golden age of Brewers baseball.
Yeah, it really is, you know, surprising when you think about it. With Counsell, everybody, you know, romanticizes, you know, he grew up in the area. His dad, you know, worked in the front office for the Brewers. Counsell was able to hang around the team. But you talked about the super utility infielder, and I think, you know, that with his upbringing and with his playing style, you know, it's easy to forget he was on the 97 World Series champion with the Florida Marlins. He was on the 2001 World Series champion with Arizona. So he knows how to win. He knows how to play multiple positions. He knows how to get plugged in and be a benefit to a team. And I think some of those things you can definitely see within this team, the way that they maximize every single space on the roster, the way that they put players in different positions, the way that almost everybody has to play multiple positions on this team. What I always will think about with Craig Counsell with managing this team is he consistently elevates the team.
Yes.
You know, whether it's continually defying expectations or getting the best out of players, whether they are, you know, maybe, you know, trying to restart their careers, yep, or their younger players coming up, or just managing an entire roster to get victories. He always continues to elevate his team. You know, it's, whether they were picked for 80 wins, they'll have them win 85. They're picked for 85 yep. wins, they seem to win 90. And that's I think, a real innate talent, not only strategy-wise, you know, putting the right chess pieces on the board, but everybody buys in and everybody wins together.
That element of getting a clubhouse to come together and really strategically deploying players and helping them develop. And this, you know, you get a feeling because players are expected to be able to slot in Rowdy Tellez throwing, you know, an inning of pitching. I love the fact that if you go to MLB.com and you pull up the pitcher's roster, there's Rowdy. Right? Yep. I thought I could pitch a baseball better than that guy, but I digress. Really letting guys feel like each of their contributions is essential. That is something really special in a manager. And I think it's at times underrated that the front office and sort of managing the payroll and getting big names in and those kinds of things can be, I don't know, overemphasized in sports press and sports media a bit. When it is that consistency that you get from a manager like Craig Counsell, that I think is what leads to, with such a small payroll, the success that Craig has had here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's built to the roster construction, trying to maximize talent, maximize roster dollars. Because when you think about, like, in 2008, that just felt like a lot of just CC Sabathia just carrying the team at the end. But, you know, the 2011 team that did go to the NLCS and lost to the Cardinals, that team was really built on offense.
Yep.
It was Ryan Braun, yep. Prince Fielder, Corey Hart, JJ Hardy, Ricky Weeks. You know, that team really was built on a lot of offense. And then they made a couple of, like, big pitching trades just to give them a little bit of boost right at the end.
Yep.
This roster construction has been flipped. It's all pitching and defense and run prevention. And then now they've been trying to add enough offense to kind of get them over the line. They certainly were benefited by two superhuman years from Christian Yelich. But since then, you know, they just haven't had enough offense, but it's been defense, playing together, pitching, and then trying to scratch together enough offense to have success.
I love watching small ball baseball. The strategy, the strategery that goes in to how you actually manage a club that isn't big sluggers. That's really interesting to me. I think it requires a lot of thinking baseball, a lot of thinking, managing. One of my favorite moments of the year was when Contreras, this was July 19th versus the Phillies in the seventh inning, gave us a 4-3 lead with a two-out RBI double, then did it again in the ninth to put us up 5-3. And then, to your point about great defense, Contreras, one of the I think, Cinderella stories of the season, we'll talk more about him, throws a runner out at second, and that basically brings us to the end of the game. We got to go to break. Keep it locked in. You're hearing all things Milwaukee Brewers here on the Postseason Eve. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Milwaukee, Arizona. We're going to hopefully take it to you. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, a special edition on this eve of the Brewers postseason. What an exciting time for the Brewers, this franchise, and Brewers fans. If you want to join my discussion with my good friend Matt Salmon, you can give us a ring, 844-967-2789. That's also the text line, 844-967-2789. As ever and always, you can go get the Civic Media app from your favorite app store and listen to us crystal clear wherever you are. You can catch the Badgers. You can catch the Packers. And a bunch of the Civic Media Radio Network family of radio stations also can get your Brewers action live. So check it out. We would be welcome to have your ears for those game plays. All right. We're here talking about what the postseason might look like, what makes the Brewers special. And we talked a little bit about the Craig Counsell formula, and there's a little bit of some speculation with David Stearns going to the Mets, his hometown, kind of his dream team to work for. And the Mets all of a sudden are in need of a manager.
Not a surprise.
No, clearly not. Big payroll. Not so big season. What do you think the odds are that the Mets scoop Counsell?
I mean, I don't have any inside information, so I want to be clear about that. There's a possibility. Now, Buck Showalter was the manager for the Mets last year. The Mets had a very disappointing season. They were cutting payroll left and right. They were literally trying to just pitch it overboard. So he seemingly was always going to be on the outs, especially David Stearns has a chance to kind of build what he wants. Counsell has to be on his list. You know, for those that maybe, maybe just kind of passing by, or those that don't have as much insight in the team, you know, Craig Counsell doesn't have a contract extension. This is his last year and he hasn't signed an extension yet. Now, is that ruling out that he'll return? I mean, it doesn't look great, but you know, there's talk that the Yankees might need a new manager this year. They're finishing with a losing record for the first time in forever, and they have a massive payroll. You know, other teams are going to be looking for a manager too, and Counsell should be at the top of everyone's list.
Agreed.
Including Milwaukee. I think they're two easy dots to connect with Stearns and Counsell, and Stearns being in the Mets and an open position. But I mean, Counsell may decide, like, I don't want to manage at all. He may just want to, you know, spend some time with his family. I mean, he's grinded in that Brewers dugout for 9 years.
And he has done amazing things with that team. I think, you know, his emotional connection to Milwaukee, I'm willing to grind at my job, my day job, right? Because I love Milwaukee. I get a feeling from Counsell that's part of the allure as well. Listen, we got a caller. It's Gil from Middleton. Gil, what's up? We're talking baseball with my good friend Matt Salmon. What say you, my friend?
Matt and Maggie, do you think what are the off season, regardless of what happens during the season here in the playoffs, What will the Brewers do? What kind of moves do you think they will be doing to improve?
Great question, Gil. Certainly at top of everyone's mind is the manager question, which we just talked about. We talked about a couple of those pitchers that are in arbitration, only have 1 year left. They might need to think about that, getting ahead of the curve. What else are you seeing, Matt?
And so there's big questions around Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns. They have 1 year of arbitration left, so the Brewers can decide if they want to try to sign them long-term or potentially try to trade them. Certainly Burns and Woodruff would be very alluring. Willie Adames has 1 year of arbitration left. So you have to make a decision there. I think the Brewers will try to continue to make those kind of smart deals and find out where they can plug in. And you talked about William Contreras, earlier. That I thought was one of a brilliant example of how the Brewers need to be successful. Atlanta wanted Oakland's catcher, Sean Murphy, which means they had to get rid of William Contreras. And the Brewers had the right pieces that Oakland wanted, and Milwaukee inserted itself and was able to land William Contreras.
So that was a deal, just to be clear for those that might not be up on all the inner workings of trades in baseball. That was a deal that Milwaukee kind of butted into to get Contreras.
Yeah, Milwaukee had the pieces that Oakland wanted, specifically Estuary Ruiz, a center fielder. And so Milwaukee was able to walk in and be a part of the trade and get William Contreras, who's now going to be with this team for at least a few years to come. So they'll probably look to make those kind of deals. Elvis Peguero was a middle reliever for this team for some time. He was injured, kind of a question mark if he'll be ready for the playoffs. But he was part of the trade that sent Hunter Renfroe to the Angels. Mm-hmm. And that was seen as a salary dump at the time. But Milwaukee got three or four pitchers back, and one of them panned out, and Elvis Peguero. And so they'll probably look to make a couple of moves like that, too.
I think that smart baseball assessment and really trying to find folks who are a bit undervalued and overlooked and try to make those kind of moves to set us up. What's missing? Where might we have weaknesses? Certainly hitting's been an issue. Contreras, what a breath of fresh air in the batter's box. The guy's just been explosive. Also a trade, this speaks to Council Baseball, as you and I were talking about, bring on Carlos Santana in the middle of the year. He's now a key part of that fat of the lineup. So essential. Again, hats off to Council for that. You know, I think as I look at the next couple of years of Brewers baseball, the question that is foremost on my mind is really the question of the manager. I think Council has built such a relationship with these guys, and he's a testament a bit to letting guys go ahead and play while still providing focused feedback. When the Brewers are having fun, and you can tell they're having fun in the dugout and in the clubhouse, that produces better baseball. That's one of those, you can't money ball having fun. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Like, sure. You can put all the right pieces that look right together on the Excel spreadsheet, right, in the algorithm. And unless you've got some chemistry with the manager, the guy that's with them every day and amongst those players, it's just not going to work right.
Yeah. And that kind of goes back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, is sometimes the Brewers just have to try to buy as many lottery tickets and see which ones hit. Rowdy Tellez is a great example of that. The Brewers had a big need at first base last year. They traded for Rowdy Tellez for Toronto. He had a great year last year. He did not have a good year this year. But that, again, when you look for those kind of players that are either extras at their positions, or maybe they need some regular starts, not every trade is going to pan out. Now, Tellez very well could have some big hits in this postseason.
He does kind of show up every once in a while for the big hit.
Right. But, I think it's certainly, determining what they want to do with Rowdy Tellez next year. He could be back. He might not. Another example of just buying as many, chances out there and seeing what sticks and seeing what works. Tellez definitely worked last year. I had a rough year this year, but he still could pan out, especially in the postseason.
It'll be certainly an interesting time. Thanks, Gil from Middleton, for the call. Again, you've got some burning Brewers questions you want to ask, 844-967-2789. Call and text lines are open. But don't worry, Matt and I are going to handle it best we can for you. Going into this series in particular against Arizona, what are you looking for? Are there certain people that you think really need to step up here?
Whoever starts game two, Brandon Woodruff is going to have to, I don't know if that's going to be Cal Eldred or Teddy Higuera or, you know, Mike Caldwell. No. So they'll have to cover one of those starting spots. It seemed like Freddie Peralta was slated to pitch game three. He could pitch game two.
Yep.
And then maybe it'll be maybe like Wade Miley to pitch. I think for me, it's going to be making sure that they can do everything they can to keep Arizona off the base paths. Arizona is one of the fastest teams in baseball. They're one of the best, you know, base running teams in baseball. They steal a lot of bases. And for a team that doesn't hit a lot of home runs like Arizona, they manufacture runs quite a bit. They're led by one of their leaders is the rookie Corbin Carroll, who had over 50 stolen bases this year. When he gets on first base, it's almost an automatic. He's going to try to steal second. And so the more you can keep Arizona off the base paths, the fewer chances they'll have to try to string a number of hits together to score runs. Arizona's offense really is kind of contained amongst four players, Carroll being one of them. Christian Walker and Gurriel Jr. are their two main power hitters. And then Ketel Marte is a very good hitter too. So trying to kind of contain those four people and keep Carroll and Marte off the base paths is going to be key.
So in nerding out a little bit before the show today, I went and pulled up the OPS. This is the on-base plus slugging percentage or statistic for all intents and purposes of both the Brewers and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Whenever I go to the games, I sort of get a chuckle out of the fact that we play the small ball baseball, right? There's not a lot of sluggers out there. And looking at our OPS stats and sometimes just the straight up old batting averages and comparing that of the Brewers to whomever we're playing never paints a great offensive picture. And yet we've squeaked out and gotten to 92 wins based on great defense, setting up the Diamondbacks versus Brewers. The MLB, of course, reports team OPS. The Diamondbacks at 730, the Brewers at 704. Now, I calculated their likely starting lineups because I like XO, and I am a little bit of a nerd, proudly so. And it's interesting, the Brewers, if you calculate the OPS for their likely starting lineups versus the Diamondbacks' likely starting lineup, the Brewers actually have a bit of an edge on them. But again, folks like, as you said, Carroll, Marte, who's just been out there doing it for a while,
really good
Grail, these are... We're going to have some work to do for our pitching staff. It's going to be an exciting, certainly this wild card will be very exciting. I'm going to be there. I know you're going to be there.
I'll be there Wednesday. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going Wednesday as well. Last year, I bought both Tuesday, not last year, the year before, but Tuesday and Wednesday set up tickets. That was an electric atmosphere. It's really interesting how, the league, I think, has really put an effort in making playoff baseball as exciting as possible. Certainly the pitch clock rule, a couple of adjustments to how the game is played. I frankly like the faster paced game.
Yeah, I do too. I was skeptical about it because baseball for so long was kind of meant to be this strategic game, mm-hmm. and you kind of let the game have its own flow.
Yep.
It's meant to be kind of not slow paced, but it's meant to be a little bit more deliberate. And it had a little bit more of probably an old timey feel according to its critics. The pitch clock, looking at it now, really feels like it was an invention for TV.
Of course, right.
Not necessarily an invention for in-person baseball, because when you're in person, you could get up to go to the refreshment stand, go to the bathroom, and you might miss like an inning and a half. Almost a little bit like an NBA game. You get up early in the third quarter, and then you come back, and it's close to the end of the third quarter. But it's I am so thankful for the pitch clock watching it on TV. Gone are the days of 3.5 hour games that start at 7 o'clock and don't end until after 10:30.
How many nights was I bleary-eyed at work? Because I'd be up because there's a freaking West Coast game.
Right.
And I'm just grinding it out with the team.
Right, and you've got a really slow pitcher on the mound who takes like 30 seconds between his pitches. Players always stepping out of the box to adjust their batting gloves all the time. And you'd have like a 5-4 game that would just grind on and on. Now with the pitch clock, it's moving faster. Games are 2.5 hours or less sometimes. It's been a great advent to help the game on television and just to kind of speed things up a little bit.
I think it brings folks who were not potentially naturally inclined to love baseball. It keeps them engaged, right? One of the things that I've always liked to say about baseball is that there's nothing that's going to happen on that field that between pitches you can't think about.
Right.
What am I going to do next? What if the ball's hit to me this way? What if the ball's hit to me that way? What if this happens? You should be able to think about that ahead of time. It's one of the things that makes baseball such a beautiful game. We'll be back with more in a moment to wrap it up. I can't believe we're at the last segment of the hour. Join us if you have any thoughts, reflections, hopes, wishes, or dreams about the Milwaukee Brewers. Join us 844-967-2789 here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WAUK.
Welcome back, everybody. Here's to the Brewers making my dreams come true. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As always and ever, Anya's in the booth. My thanks to you. We're going to be hearing more from Anya on the mic as well. Matt Salmon, my good friend, joining me to talk all things Brewers baseball on the eve of the Brewers postseason. It's been quite a season. There's been some high moments, some low moments. What stands out to you when you look back on this season?
I think, you know, the trades and the acquisitions of Carlos Santana and Mark Canna were seen as kind of flyers or like, yep. hey, maybe these guys will help out. There wasn't given up a lot in return. In fact, you know, the Mets essentially paid Mark Canna to go to Milwaukee.
To go to Milwaukee.
And they have come through with flying colors and given that scoring punch that they need. And I think, you know, probably one of the big takeaways from the season is, in the middle of August, they were kind of up and down, kind of playing some sweet and sour baseball. They got swept at the Dodgers, and they were going to Texas, who was leading the division at the time. They swept the Texas Rangers in a weekend series, and then it was like they were running on jet fuel ever since.
It was as if somebody had lit a fire, yeah. Was it not? One of my favorite moments was just one that happened this past September 16th, just a couple of weeks ago. It's Mark Canna's walk-off grand slam. I mean, baseball doesn't get any sweeter than that. Listen, we're going to go to the phones, take a couple of folks before we run out of airtime. Jamie from Michigan, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
What is up with these Nerf bats? I mean, the Brewers are incredible. What's up with that?
Well, you know, they have swung some lacking power offensively, and that's been at the bottom of their lineup. You know, they have overcome, say, like, you know, Bryce Strang not having a lot of power, Joey Weimer being swing and miss, Tyrone Taylor has found his hitting stroke again, Andrew Monasterio, they've even kind of said, you know, a couple of times on air when he hits doubles, you know, that might be about as far as he can hit it, you know, but I think that they have shown resiliency and the ability to get base hits. And I think we've seen Tyrone Taylor really hit the ball hard to left center and hit some doubles. So they've found enough hitting at the bottom of their order. And they're certainly contributing with a lot of defense as well.
The Nerf bats, Jamie from Michigan. Shame on you on the eve of the postseason. Think positively. I also have to say that for me, a real highlight was watching Woodruff pitch a shutout. It's just great. So rare in baseball. That also came in September, felt real sweet, and against the Marlins. These were some big games for folks. One thing I'm a little bit concerned about is, again, thinking about pitch selection as we go into the playoffs. And by that, I don't mean what the pitchers are pitching. I mean what the hitters are swinging at. You really have to get some plate discipline around the strike zone.
Yeah, and Milwaukee has shown a real innate ability to have long plate appearances. They certainly do draw a lot of walks. And so that'll be helpful too, you know, whether it's trying to rack up a lot of pitches for a starting pitcher and maybe get them out a little bit early. That's something that has been a strength of this team.
Well, what I'd like to finish up with this fine Monday afternoon with you, Salmon, is talking about Milwaukee sports fans, just as a general point. The MLB attendance rankings came out today. I would be remiss if I didn't note that Milwaukee comes in 15th out of 30 teams. And what I find very interesting is that Arizona team making the playoffs, coming to our stadium here, they've got an attendance average way less than the Brewers, 24,000 folks a game. The Brewers clicking in at just over 31,000. You would have the Miami Marlins making the playoffs, stinking it up for attendance, 14,000 a game. Tampa Bay, 17,000.
I don't know if that's a fair comparison.
Probably not when it's 80 degrees out all the time.
Right, yeah, exactly. And you know, in Phoenix, yeah, like you said, sometimes it's 100 degrees out all the
time.
Yeah, you know, the Brewers hit
200. Yeah, you think that that weather-related thing that might be going on might tamp down baseball attendance in those hot weather climates.
Yeah, the Brewers were at 2.5 million fans, and that's impressive, again, for the smallest market in baseball to continue to have a lot of fans come through the gates. They're gonna need a lot of home support, you know, coming up, not just in this wild card round, but if they move further, they're gonna need a lot of support out there and a lot of vocal support and a lot of positive energy, you know, especially after this Woodruff injury.
Yeah, everybody's got to show up, grow up, be there, glow up for the Brewers. It is an extremely emotional experience. There still is that pace of baseball waiting for each pitch to be thrown during playoff baseball, and everybody's watching every pitch. It's unlike any baseball experience I've ever had, and my dad played in the men's senior World Series.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Mike Dawn throwing curveballs. He's a finesse pitcher. Clocking. Let me do this.
Are there a lot of fireballers in the senior World Series?
No. Well, you'd be surprised. It's an over 30 league. So go figure that. Mike Dawn coming in at 6'3", a slim 185, a southpaw hailing out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, his undergraduate at UW Milwaukee and then Marquette. My dad was a great pitcher. It was a whole bunch of fun to watch him play in that. He actually cranked a couple of home runs.
Nice.
Again, good eye for the ball. So important. But returning to Milwaukee fans, you know, from time to time, places like GQ, whatnot, rank sort of sports fan cities.
Sure.
One of the things that I think is always incredible about Milwaukee is that we always hit the top five. Doesn't matter what sport it is or what we're watching, we always hit the top five. Milwaukee fans know a lot about sports. My mom, she's 80 years old, understands the rules of football. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I really think that there's something really special about that. And I think that one of the reasons that people engage so much with the Brewers and love them so much is that it speaks to this sort of innate Milwaukee-ness, Wisconsin-ness. You know, we're middle-class folks. We grind it out, and so do the Brewers. What's your favorite thing about Milwaukee and Wisconsin sports fans?
I think the Brewers fans are very dedicated. And you know, there really is a lot of family fandom that gets passed down generation to generation. I think you really do see that at the stadium. Whether it's, you know, parents and kids and grandparents all cooking out together, you know, in the parking lots, or, you know, a lot of families like attending games together. I know my fandom got passed down from both my mom and my dad, and taking me to ball games when I was young. That really stuck with me a lot. And so that's one thing I definitely think about when it comes to Brewers fans.
It is a family affair here in Milwaukee. And let's take our family, our Brewers family, all the way through and lock in this wild card. It has been a special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. My great thanks to my friend Matt Salmon. It was really a pleasure. I love nerding it up about sports. Tune in tomorrow. I'm going to be back with another special guest. We're going to be talking all things Russia politics. here on the Maggie Dawn Show.